Okay. Third John, chapter 1. Only 14 verses here tonight. Are we ready? Verse 1. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that you mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, even as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest, to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if you bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, receives us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he does, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith. Neither does he himself receive the brethren, and forbids them that would, and casts them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that does good is of God, but he that does evil has not seen God. Demetrius has good report of all men and of the truth itself. Yes, and we also bear record, and you know that our record is true. I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write to you. But I trust I shall shortly see you and will speak to you face to face. Peace be to you. Our friends salute you. Greet the friends by name. Doesn't sound like a whole lot, but there's some good stuff in here. There's some good stuff. Who wrote this epistle?
John.
John did. When he says, the elder unto the beloved Gaius. Who's the elder?
John.
It was John. He was speaking himself as an elder. Not that he was necessarily so old. He was old, but not that. But he was elder in the Lord. He was mature in the Lord. He said to the beloved, the word well shouldn't be there, to the beloved Gaius. What does it mean, Gaius? Lord. To the beloved Lord, whom I love in what? In truth. Beloved, I wish, or I pray to God, with respect to all things, that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So he says, I pray for you, right? That you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. What's the defining thing here? Huh? Well, he's praying, but he's saying, I want you to prosper even as what?
Your
soul prospers. There's something in you besides the soul, isn't there? What's it called?
Spirit.
So how am I going to prosper in spirit if my soul does not prosper? Can you see the parallel? The soul needs to prosper, right? And if the soul doesn't prosper, is the spirit going to prosper? It's not going to. So I need my body, my soulish realm that I live in. Don't we all live in a soulish realm? My soulish body has to prosper. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says what? Nobody knows? Turn there. Turn there so we can see it. Right after Acts, Romans 12, verse 1. I could quote it to you, but I want you to see it. It's a parallel to this about what he's talking about. Are you there? He said, I beseech you, brethren, right, by the mercies or through the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You have to know it. But you're only going to prosper by presenting your body a living sacrifice. So he says, I want you to prosper, but your soul's got to prosper. And that's your mind, will, and emotions. Wouldn't you agree? So all this has got to come together for my spirit to grow. My soul has got to go in this thing. He said, because, verse 3, I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that's in you. Someone came along and told John about somebody else, Gaius in particular, right? Who was doing what? He was talking about the truth that was in Gaius. Well, for somebody to tell somebody, I can't walk down the street and say, you know, you ought to hear all this. You ought to see all the truth in Mike. How could I? Huh? There's got to be some kind of evidence here, see, in his life. Right? See, and if I don't see evidence, how can I go down the street and say that? So evidently, the ones he's talking about have been living the life that they're supposed to live. Does that make sense? So here they could say they've been testifying about the life that's in these people. They're living what they're supposed to. It's not dressing up pretty and going to church. It's the life you live. It's what you do every day in your life. It's not about being pretty in church, is it? Because God, if that was all it was, I'd be out of luck. It's not about being pretty. It's about the truth. But they came and testified of the truth that's in you. Even as you what?
Walk.
Literally that word walk is live. Even as you live the truth. Not literally walk, but the language says it's live. So as I live the truth, then what am I going to give to people that look at me? I'm going to give them an evidence of the Christ in my life, right? Same with you. You have to live this thing. It can't be just something we talk about when we come in here, can it? It's got to be a 24/7. All the time. I'm never off duty in God. Never off duty. When I was in Florida, my brother, bless his heart, church he was in, he said they went to a Baptist church and they went to a cruise. A bunch of them got in this big ship and went to the Bahamas or someplace. And they all got on immediately. All aboard, they hit the bars and bellied up and started tipping them. He said, what are you doing? He said, it wouldn't make any difference. We're not back. No one can see us. They did. Yeah, but that's living the life of a hypocrite. It's not the alcohol that did them wrong. It was their mind. It was their heart that was saying, I have to walk straight and narrow here, but when I get away, nobody's looking. I can do anything I want to. What's that character thing say right over on the wall? Character is who you are when no one is watching but God. What I do all the time in my life, or you do in your life, is what it's all about. I don't do it because I don't stop at that stop sign because I'm afraid that a policeman might be sitting around the corner watching me, and there's very few people that stop there. But every time I go out of there, I stop there. I don't have to. No one else does. But see, that's not the point. What's the law say? God sees me every day. People say, well, it don't make any difference. It don't. Well, then what's Romans 13:1 say? Let every soul be subject to the higher power, for every power that be is ordained of who?
God.
And he that resists the ordinance resists the power of God and bringeth judgment to himself. Well, come on. Does it make a difference?
Yep.
See, it does make a difference. If I can't control myself and my soul, remember about the soul prospering, if I can't control this thing, Jesus said it another way, if you can't handle the meager elements of this world, how can he give you the true riches of the kingdom? Now, how many of us want the true riches of the kingdom? Well, then we got to start walking some way here different than what everybody else walks. We can't walk the way they walk just because they can get by with it. Somebody can run 100 miles an hour. I can't do it. I just can't do it because it's not right. That's not saying I don't ever go 1 mile over the speed limit. The law gives you that many, don't they? And I can go up 23 in the morning and there'll be people running 80 miles an hour up that road. And I'll be on cruise control at 59. I'll take 4 and stay right there. But that's just the way it is. I've got to do that in my heart. I've got to come to my heart to where I say, whatever God has set up, that's what it is. Right? Be content with whatever He puts me in. Right? And we can't take for granted any aspect of our life. If we do and say, this point don't count, well then why has God got it here? Talk to me. Why is this part of our life here if it doesn't make any difference? All the bad things we've went through has been for a reason. They've helped us grow. Every mistake that we've made in our life has helped us learn something. Every law that's been set up, every crooked politician, every judge or whoever they are, crooked or whatever they are, God set them up because they had what He needed done to fulfill His purpose. So how can I say I have a right to invalidate what they've done? Because who put it out there? God did. So it is important that all this stuff going on, we need to walk in the straight line. But you can't walk a straight line because Dave said so. It's not about me. It's about what your heart tells you. You can't do it, Vernon, because Mom wants you to. You got to do it because God's wanting you in your heart. You got to know that yourself. Nobody can make anybody do anything. You can't legislate a righteous heart. If you could, Jesus would not have been nailed to a tree. It has to be in your heart. It has to come from love. Nothing else. No one can make you do anything. Just like Lois said about the little boy. Inside, I'm not sitting down. Well, see, that's what the church is full of. Instead of people doing what God wants them, they're saying, I'm only doing it because I'm afraid of going to hell. That's all they're doing. They're not there because they love God. If you have an intimate relationship with God, who are you going to be?
With Him.
With Him. See? Not just on Sundays or Thursdays or Wednesdays or whatever day we meet. That's not what it's about. 24/7. When is God going to leave you?
Yeah.
Never. Not going to leave. See, we got to walk this thing out. John's trying to tell us this is what it's about. We've got to learn to walk this thing. We can't keep playing the games. I said before, I'm not going to have some rock take my place. There's been generations for 2,000 years that have been handed the baton of God in this race that Paul talked about him running in, and they took the baton and said, here, you take it. Hand it to the next generation. The next one coming down the road, they can finish it off. I'm sick of that. I want it. I want it in my life. And if I have it in my life, I can give it to you. But I'm not going to give it to you until I finish the race. When I give it to you, it's going to be finished. You can do the same thing. But you can't take any more for granted that someone else is going to come along and pick it up. Who's got the responsibility? We do. We've got to find this responsibility in our hearts. When we do that, guess what? Things will change. And there'll be people come and they'll tell about the truth that's in you. People will be seeing a witness in your life that you've got truth in you. And no matter what anybody says about you, guess what? It don't make any difference. You know why? It's because it's what your Heavenly Father says about you. And He says you're holy, you're righteous, you're unblameable, you're not guilty, you're well beloved. See? I don't have to listen to all this trash people throw at me because I know I heard my Father's voice. Don't have to look back no more. It's okay. It's okay. Look what He says in verse 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children live in what? Look what John called them. My children. If I was to say today, you're my children. Most people say, well, you're nuts. But no, in the spirit realm, when I can beget you in truth, just like Paul did, just like Jesus did, just like the Father begat Him to start with, it's passing that truth, that baton to you. Cindy, you said tonight, you found this message of truth, of revelation. It's the greatest thing you've ever seen. Let's hand it to you. Now, what you going to do with it? You've got to run the race, don't you? See? Once it's handed to you, what do you got to do? See, my race is facing that way. Now it's your turn. And everybody gets a place to carry the baton. And there ain't going to be no rock stand up and take my place. I promise you. He said, "Beloved, you do faithfully whatsoever you do in the labor to the brethren and the strangers." Whatever you do, do it how?
Faithfully.
Faithfully do it. The church, for so many years, has taught that you treat your brethren in the church differently than you teach or treat the brethren outside the church. Now, they've taught that for many, 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 many years. Right? Is it right?
No,
it's not. There are brothers and sisters, whether they're in ignorance or not, it makes no difference. And if we show a distinction between them, we're no different than any worldly person out here. We're lying to ourselves. Didn't he say in 1 John, if you say you love your brother, but yet you persecute and hate him and do all these things, you're a liar and the truth's not in you. See? It's about loving people. No conditions, no strings attached. If you're good and you love me back, I'll love you. That's not what it's about. It's an unconditional thing that God does in your heart. And see, when God begets something, if God is love and He births something in you, what do you think it's going to be?
Love.
It's going to be love. And if the love's in your heart, there's nothing you can do but birth what's in you, can you? If I am love, what can I give to you?
Love.
Well, I have to tell you I love you. You should be able to know everything I do. You should know I love you. See? Whether it's saying it or not, whether it's in actions, it should be in both. I mean, it's okay to say I love you, but yet you should know I love you by the way I treat you. Should be no problem with that. And when people come up and say, I love you, but you better get the Band-Aids out because they're going to flog you a little bit. That's the Christian way of doing it, they say. Verse 6, which have borne witness, or literally have testified of your what? Your love before the church. See, so people are going to see the love that you have in your life. We've been called to be a light to the world. True? Set upon a hill, not hid under a basket. Baskets made out of what?
Wood.
Humanity. See, we're not supposed to let that light stay inside here, are we? A light's not to be hid underneath something that's been put out here to see. That's where we're at. So we can't be in obscurity. We can't just hide out and wait for the rapture bus to come and get us, can we? That's what most people are doing. We have to live our lives now. Can't wait for anything else to come around, can we? It has to be now. We've only got so many ticks on the clock, and we have to find out what our purpose is. Is that the end of it? We got to fulfill it. See? We got to fulfill it. I'm not satisfied with just knowing what God expects out of me. I have to do what He expects. Does it make sense? Which have borne witness, or literally testified of your love before the church, whom if you bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, you shall do well. He's saying that people come along, ministry, like Dad's coming in this weekend. He said, if you take them along on their journey, that means you help them to get along on their journey, take it down to brass tacks, you financially help them so they can get from this place to the next place. Right? Do you understand that? That's what he's talking about. They need food, they need transportation, whatever. That's what we take care of, right? So he said, if you've done this, you've done what? You've done well. Because concerning or regarding His name or His nature or character, they went forth. So these people that sent out, He said, they're doing this for the nature and character of God, right? Taking nothing from the Gentiles or the people who are not Christian or not in the church. They're not out in the streets begging, are they? Who should take care of them? Paul said this. He worked with his hands making tents. And he didn't take from anybody for a reason. So they couldn't find fault with him and say he was taking advantage and taking liberty on them. But later on he come back and said, I'm telling this not for your good, but for your shame. These other people took care of me when you wouldn't. See? There's a responsibility, But these people weren't ready to hear the truth yet. So he didn't take anything from them. It's necessary that men of God who stay in the Word, the Scripture says, if you labor in the Word, you're worthy of what?
Higher.
Double. Double, it says.
Double higher.
Double higher. See? You're worthy of double higher. And all that means is you're worthy of enough finances to take care of your life so you don't have to go out and work another job and then try to squeeze this in with your eyelids half open. Well, nobody has to go to their jobs like that. I mean, they get time to rest and then they do their job. And everybody expects, there's a lot of churches today that expect their ministers to work a job and do this too. And there's no time for it. That's an impossibility. I don't care how many people out there say they can preach 10 churches or whatever they can do. You can't do it faithfully. You can't do what justice you need to do to the fellowship and the body with working another job. It's an impossibility. I don't care how organized you are. You can't spend enough time with God, enough time in this Word, enough time with your members in the body. You can't do it. It's an impossibility. And if I go hungry, I'll still not take another job. I ain't going to do it. Because I've got too much responsibility in here. And I'll never short you on that. Verse 8. We therefore ought to what? Literally it says, receive hospitably such or ones of this sort, in order that we become fellow helpers to the truth. So we need to receive people like that, that come bringing the Word of God to us in a hospitable manner. Okay? We shouldn't have a grudging heart. If anyone this weekend, when Dez is here, if you got in your heart to give to this ministry, what should you do? If you don't have anything in your heart to give, I don't care if it's a pop tab. If you feel like you need to give it to him, what should you do? See, it's not about the amount of money. Jesus talked a parable about this woman who had 2 pennies. What'd she do with them? And all the rich folk were coming in, putting all their money into the offering. And he stood back and said, you know, that lady's giving more than all the rest of them. And then you know what them religious Pharisees had to be thinking around there about that time. What are you talking about? She just threw 2 pennies in there. We thought all kinds of big bills in there, you know, fives and tens. You'll catch that later. But Jesus said the 2 pennies meant more. Why? She gave it from her heart. She gave everything she had. And that's what it's about. God will not accept 90%. See? God wants it all. What part of you can you keep back from Him?
Everything.
What husband and wife can keep back part of their heart from their husband? Linda, what part of your heart don't you want Keith to have? Okay. Do you think our Father is anything less than that? You don't think He wants our heart 100%? But if we don't have it, if it's not in our heart to give, don't do it because you think you should. Do what your heart tells you. It's not about making money in here. It's about obeying God. Give what God says to give. If you don't give, that's between you and God. And up to me. A Melchizedek priesthood does what?
Yes.
No. He receives. The law takes. Levitical priesthood takes. Melchizedek priesthood receives. But he said, we ought therefore to receive hospitably the ones of this sort that we, in order that we become what?
Fellow
helpers to the truth. Well, I want to be part of that. I don't care about what anybody else wants. I want to make sure that any ministry that comes to this place when they go away, they don't go away looking back saying, I can't believe it. Okay? I don't want to believe that. We've had ministry here, and we've sat and talked, and they've been to major conferences, traveled completely across the country, and when they walked away, they never gave them a penny. And asked them to fly thousands of miles and didn't give them a penny. Can you believe that? What's in somebody's heart to do that? How could that be receiving someone hospitably? And they say, oh, we just loved you, we loved your word, and see ya. Does that sound hypocritical? Something's not right. Something's not right. And I'm not picking on us here, because there's never been a ministry went away from here dissatisfied. Has there? Not a one. He said, I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence, or literally he's fond of being first or in the front, among them, received us not. Or literally, he says, in the language, he received us not as a teacher. Okay, he wouldn't let them teach anything. Now, let's go back and look at this word Diotrephes. What does it mean? It comes from the word dis. I played with this one time. Discontented, discord. You wouldn't believe how many negatives there are in dis. There's a whole bunch of disses. Disconnected. Yeah. It also represents a pagan god. Another name for him is Zeus. We've all heard of the pagan god Zeus. And Jupiter, same one, dis. It's pagan worship, and it literally means proud and arrogant. Speaking of idolatry, okay? Idol means who? I? Ego? Self? So, this Diotrephes, who loved to have the preeminence, he wanted to be in front, he wanted to be in control, he wanted to have everything his way, did not receive us as a teacher. He said he didn't receive this ministry as a teacher. What should a ministry come in for? What to say?
Teach.
To teach. See, this isn't some emotional high game. It's not coming in to lay hands on and prophesy and do these miracles. Those might happen. That's not what it's about. It's about learning. We have a man coming in here that is very well versed in Scripture. He's been in Scripture for many, many years, and he has something to teach us. So when we walk away from these meetings this weekend, we should say, I have learned something about God. Whether it's through His words or through His actions, we should learn something about God. And if we don't learn something about God, we've wasted our time. We could have went to a social club anywhere. We could have went to the Elks or something, or somewhere, I don't know. Couldn't we? Might as well. If we're not going to learn anything more about God, then what are we meeting for? We need to learn about God, because I don't think we've got there yet where we don't need to learn anymore. Didn't Hosea say, my people are destroyed for lack of what?
Knowledge of God.
Knowledge of God. We don't have enough knowledge. If we have enough knowledge, it tells me I won't be destroyed. Right? If we're destroyed for lack of knowledge, if we have a lot of knowledge of God, then that tells me we won't be destroyed, will we? See? So, we've got to learn. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he does, prating against. Literally, that word prating against means he's bad-mouthing. We know what bad-mouthing is? Someone running their mouth on you about things they really don't know about, just trying to tear you down, tear your reputation down. With malicious words, and not content therewith. He's not even content, he's saying, to run you down and badmouth you. But he's going to run other people off. He's going to run you off and run off anybody that's trying to help you. That sound familiar? There's a whole lot of people out here that will try to stop you. And you can be doing the right thing. You can love people. You can help people. But if you tell them the truth, you know what they're going to do? They're going to badmouth you. But more than that, they're going to try to badmouth anybody that gets close to you. You know what? They'll try to do it. If you know that ahead of time, should it shock you when it happens? Okay, know it ahead of time. Neither does he himself receive the brethren and forbids or prevents them that would and casts them out of the church. See? Oh, I've been threatened to be ostracized and I've been told everything in the world. It don't make any difference. I had a man who I dearly love. He another part of the state, up north, and some bad things happened in my life. A lot of you know about it, And he called me one day and he said, "You know, I've been thinking." He said, "I think there's a place for you in the kingdom." I said, "Well, brother, you're all heart." I mean, here we've been good friends for 4 or 5 years, and you're just now telling me all this time you really didn't think that I had a heart after God. I mean, that's a real confidence builder, isn't it? Here's your fellow minister who says, "You know, I think maybe there is a place for you in the kingdom." You know, I told him, I said, "Brother, our relationship has nothing to do with you giving me authority. My authority comes from God. The only thing you owe me is your love, and that we owe each other." And I said, "You really didn't love me if that's what you're saying was really in your heart." I said, "I don't need your opinions about anything. I just need your love, your fellowship." And he's fizzled away. He's faded away. He couldn't stand the pressure. And he told me that. He said, "I love you, but brother, I can't stand with you." Okay. That's the way it goes. Just because you can't go don't mean I'm not going to go. I'm going on. I've seen a lot of them fall. It's okay. The ones that fell, I think it was predetermined. The ones that's going to walk on, I believe, is predetermined. I don't think I can do anything in myself to make me do anything greater than what God has planned for me. Whatever God's got planned is going to come to pass. It has nothing to do with me. It's what He's doing. Verse 11, "Beloved, follow," and the word "follow" is not "follow." It's "imitate" or "mimic." Imitate or mimic. But not that, but the ones that are evil. You know, it says, "Mimic or imitate not the ones that are evil." Don't follow or imitate or mimic anybody that's evil. Does that make sense? The ones that does good is what? They're from God. Literally the words ek, they're from God or from out of God. They're from God. The ones that does good, they're from God. But the ones that, what?
Does evil,
has not seen God. So, why do you think God, John's telling us this? Tell me, why did God have him write this down? He says, first of all, he that does evil, I'm going to put just evil up here. Okay? This is not of, he said, don't follow evil, right? Don't do. Okay? Don't do evil. So, in essence, he's telling me, do what? Okay? Do good. And then he says what? Here. He that does evil, the ones that do this, what? They've never seen God. They've never seen God. Well, that tells me then, these folks, guess what? Right? Do good? They've seen God.
Did you mean to put God up there?
Where? That's do good. That's O-O. I squeezed two of them together real close there. Okay. So, he's saying this. Don't do evil. Do good. The ones that do evil have never seen God. Well, you know, you can't imitate something you haven't seen. How can I ever be in the image of God if I have never seen God? Scripture says this, "No man has seen God and lived." But the root of that word is the Adamic man. But 2,000 years ago, that Adamic man died. Guess what I can see now? The veil's been rent, top to bottom. I can walk into the Holy of Holies boldly by His blood. Scripture says so, right? I have to believe that. So now, I can do what? I can see God.
And live.
Yeah. But now, why did he show you that? There's something in here. Why did he show you this? Why did he show you that the ones that do evil have never seen God, but the ones who do good, they've obviously seen God? Why did he say that? So you can see the difference. What's your discernment? Which one is it? Don't tell me God said don't judge. Read the context. We're to judge the whole world and even angels. Right? We are to judge a tree by the fruit it bears. It's not this don't judge. That's people saying, don't look at me. Okay? Don't look at me. Don't judge me now. That's people covering something. I'm going to tell you right now, judge me. Go ahead and judge me. I don't care. Because you won't find anything in me that God don't already know about.
It says Mark can spitefully use you anything against your will, so you stay away.
He said, mark them that are...
The evil will rub off.
Sure it was. Evil communication corrupts good manners, good lifestyles. But we need to be able to see the difference. See, that's New Age. When this don't make any difference. When it don't make any difference. Mike was talking earlier about that. That's one of the things about New Age. It really doesn't make any difference what you do. That's New Age. And it really is New Age. It's Old Age Babylonian.
From the beginning.
It's been from Babylon all along. See, it's nothing new. It's just something that the mind has dug up out of the past and made this idol again. That's all it is. There's people today preaching, it doesn't matter what you do. Well, then why did God write this book? Is God stupid or are we?
We.
As human beings, we're stupid. I'm serious.
You're supposed to discern good and evil.
Yes.
With your mind.
Absolutely.
Right, with the mind of Christ.
Absolutely, by the mind of Christ.
Yeah, that's the tree of life. That's the separation.
That's right. You can still see this,
yes.
But it's not but with my natural mind. It's by my spirit. See, it's by spirit. We got to separate the intellect from the spirit. And these people out here preaching, just do anything you want to do, God don't care. If that ain't a bunch of bahooey, God wrote a big book, thick. There's over 500,000 words in this book. And he did it for no reason? Come on, it makes a difference. God has not mocked man or reap what he sows. He's going to reap what he sows. God's not mad at them, but they're doing it to themselves. Right? Demetrius has good report of all men. What does Demetrius mean? You won't believe this word. Belonging to the corn.
What?
Belonging to the corn.
Corn.
What's corn?
Word.
It's the word. Serious. That's what it means. See, all this stuff is dumb. All these names have spiritual meanings to them. Belonging to the corn. Corn symbolic of the Word of God. Literally, there is no corn in Scripture. In their culture, they had no corn. They had wheat. If you look in there, in most places where it says corn, like when Jesus' disciples walked through the field and said they pulled the corn and eat it, it wasn't corn, it's wheat. It was raw wheat. And they just pulled the heads off the top of it, an ear of wheat that they call the stalk on top, and they eat the wheat. So there was no corn in that. That was in this country. That was the Indian culture over here that had the corn. Or the maize, as they want to call it. But Demetrius has good report. He belonged to the Word, didn't he? Who do you belong to? You should be able to call yourself Demetrius. Jesus is the Word, isn't he? We belong to the Word. I do. Demetrius has good report of who? Literally, the word man's added there, so he's got a good report of all. And of the truth itself. Yea, and we also, literally the also is not there, we bear record, and you know that our record is true. I had many things to write unto you, but will not with ink or through ink and pen write to you.
No emails.
Huh?
No emails.
No emails. I'm going to talk to you. John manifests my heart. He likes to talk to people face to face. Because I can talk on a phone, and it's better, but an email is just almost closest to not any communication as possible. It's okay, but it's not. I like people. if you haven't figured that out yet. I just love people. And when I talk, I like to talk to people. I like to be around people. And I know my wife, sometimes I wear her out because I want to drag her and just go all the time to be around people somewhere, don't I? But I can't help the way God has made me. I love people, and I want to be with people all the time. You know, and that's why I could never go in isolation, like we talked about earlier about some people going in isolation. I can't do that. You might as well kill me as put me in isolation. I couldn't live without people. That's just the way God made me. I love to be around them, and I always will. That's right. And so that just, he just used it that way. He said, but I trust I shall shortly see you, and we shall speak face to face. You know what? The language really doesn't point this out as just a big, hey, how you doing? It's a confrontation. There's some confrontation going to come. And you know when truth comes, what happens? Confrontation. He just talked about diatrophies. Didn't he say he'd deal with him when he got there? There's going to be some confrontation. When the truth comes, it's going to confront your flesh. The way you think. The thinking that you think isn't right.
Should be a one-party thing.
No. See, if we are in isolation, like we were talking, if we're in isolation and I'm just me and my mind is playing this game, do you know how long it's going to take me to get off base? A few days, maybe. I'm going to start adding to and taking away, and the next thing you know, we've got a wild one going. See, Scripture says this, in the multitude, there's safety in the multitude of counselors. See, when we think we can go out and sit down by ourselves, we just lost it. And someday you'll come to appreciate someone who will come and confront you. There's not very many people that love people today. Because rather than coming up and confronting someone, they'll say, oh, I don't want to say anything to offend them. Oh, just let them go ahead and fall off the cliff. Don't tell them there's a big cliff over there they can fall over. Just let them walk off of it. Is that loving somebody? Or is it better to say, hey, don't go over there, you're going to get in trouble? I'll tell you, even if you have the possibility of making you mad, I'll take my chances because I love you enough to tell you the truth. See? And even if that offends you, I'm sorry, but I'm going to tell you the truth because I'm going to try to help you the best I can. That's called love. And your life should be the same way. Ed had an opportunity, just last week I think he said something. Didn't you say to me, can I give you some constructive criticism? Okay. That's okay, what did I tell you? Go ahead. Give it to me. It's okay, give me your opinion. But after we discussed it, we saw it a little differently, didn't we? See? But see, we can all get to see something and maybe not see it right. It's okay to see differently.
Better to open it up.
Open it up so our minds don't play games with us. Let's put it on the table. What do we got? And if I'm wrong, I'll back up, be the first one to back up. And we'll talk and we'll come out and find out what the truth is. See, that's called relationship. And it shouldn't just be between us. It should be in our families, in our homes, between our wives and our children, husbands, in our workplaces, everywhere we're at, we should be wide open. We're supposed to be written epistles to be read of who?
All men.
It didn't say the church, did it? It said all men. So our lives should be that open. And I know it's offensive to a lot of people, but that's the way Jesus lived his life. Did he hide anything? Did he go around the corner and say, well, I better not offend this guy because his dad's spiritually dead. I'll just not say nothing. He said, let the dead bury the dead. You come follow me like I told you. Told the rich man, sell everything you got. He went right to the heart of it. Your wealth was worth more to you than me. So, go on. Sell and come on or go on. See? Either get in the way or get out of the way. Jesus spoke straight down the line. He didn't do it because he liked this one better than that one. He just said what he had to say. Father says it, say it. Don't be afraid of it. If he gave it to you to say, do you think he's going to let somebody hurt you because you said it? See? You got to trust him. It's all going back to that faithfulness. If we know that he said it, we can't be deceived. And we know nothing's going to happen until we fulfill our purpose. Now, let me ask you a question. Isn't everybody planning on, even in the church realm, getting to heaven? They want to be with God in the fullness. And everybody's afraid to die. Isn't that amazing? When you die, where are you going to be? With God throughout eternity. What's bad about that? Come on. What's bad about that? If I live my life and God says, okay, it's time, take me, well, praise God. I don't want to leave everybody ahead of time. But if that's what God wants, praise God, I'm with Him. And I'll never have to put up with the crap in this world again. Everybody says they hate this world, but just you just let anything get close to them or threatening their life and watch them hang on to it. See? I don't understand that thinking. And I don't. I just don't understand it. At one time in my life, I was afraid of dying. But I told everybody, I ain't afraid of dying. Not me. I'm a man. Nothing.
Some days I'm ready.
Huh? What?
Some days I'm ready.
Yeah. But I'm not afraid of it any longer because I know my Father's in control. And even if it's 85 mile an hour, 3 inches from the bumper of another vehicle coming down the mountain, it makes no difference, does it? With a boat behind us. It don't make any difference. Because I'm not going to die. He's in control. And I'm not going to die. I might feel some pain, but I ain't going to die. See? I know that. Oh, there's a lot of things that we have to come into the understanding of God. And it's not what Dave says, it's what God says.